In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today is the parable of the sower, which we heard from St. Luke's Gospel, rather. Sometimes the things that Jesus does and says almost make it seem like he doesn't really know what he's doing. For example, there's one time that a group of people bring a paralyzed man to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't heal him right away, but he looks at the man and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." "Thanks, Jesus, but that's not very practical for my day-to-day living." The paralytic obviously wanted a little something more concrete from the miracle-working Jesus. A few weeks ago, we heard about the transfiguration of Jesus, and Jesus told Peter, James, and John as they were walking down the mountain not to tell anyone about what they'd seen. This seems sort of counterintuitive when one of the directives of the church that we heard this morning is to tell people about Jesus and what he has done. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells us about a sower, a farmer, if you will, who goes out into the world to scatter his seed in a rather unusual manner. From our point of view, especially in an age where we very carefully plan how we sow our crops to make sure that every square inch of the ground is used to our advantage, Jesus simply goes out and seems to waste the seed. No farmer in his right mind would plant like this sower. Jesus doesn't have the common sense to do a demographic study or to put a questionnaire out about the needs of the community. He doesn't go door to door where they would go if they died that very night. He doesn't come up with great programs for young children or even a slate of youth group activities. No, Jesus simply goes out, scatters the seed of the word with reckless abandon, and the wise of the world all the while are over in the corner shaking their heads. The same thing is true of McKenna's baptism this morning. Christ has implanted the seed of his word into our heart, despite what many would claim about baptism. Some might say that baptism isn't something that babies can do because babies can't confess or believe in the gospel, or that baptism is for only those who understand what's going on, or even that baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality, what God has worked in the heart. But what does God say about baptism in his word? Well, we heard some of those promises already this morning. First, Christ commands that we make disciples of all nations, which includes little McKenna, by baptizing and teaching. Christ even adds the promise of eternal life, saying, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And St. Peter, in his first epistle, has also written, "Baptism now saves you." With this parable, Jesus points to us the true power of God's holy word. We boldly confess the inerrancy of Scripture, that it makes no mistakes whatsoever. But here, Jesus shows that his word, and here's a big theological word for you, he shows that it is efficacious. Efficacious. That means that it does what it says, and it gives what it promises. Thus says the Lord in the Old Testament lesson for today, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Just as surely as God says, "Let there be light," and there was light, so also when God says, "Baptism now saves you," it does. God works among us in ways that are higher than our ways, for his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He created faith in the heart of little McKenna, making her a partaker in his kingdom of grace. He scatters the seed of the word into the fertile soil of a heart that is not yet jaded and corrupted by life in this world, and it has produced a fruit 100-fold. This is the purpose for which he has sent this word this morning, that in McKenna and in the rest of us who hear it, it would sprout and grow. This also shows the importance of continuing to hear Christ's word throughout the Christian life. Caleb and Caitlin, little McKenna is God's own child. He desires to teach her his holy word, which is the true and heavenly food by which we Christians live our lives in this world. We'll hear again in a few weeks Jesus say, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father." Jesus warns us all in this parable that the word comes to us in weakness. He does not force it upon us. We may harden our hearts or allow suffering to rob us of its comfort or allow the cares and concerns of this life to choke it out. But this is not the fault of the seed. It is the fault of the soil into which it falls. This is why God must proclaim his law to us. His word breaks down our defenses and it crushes our idols. Like a good farmer, Jesus tills the soil and removes all the rocks and stumps that would hinder the growth. And this same God who kills and makes alive is also the one who repairs what has been destroyed by the law. He waters and fertilizes. He tends his field, and it produces in us a harvest unto salvation. And the reason that God's word in baptism and in preaching are so incredibly powerful and able to accomplish what he sends it to do is because that word of God is the very word of Christ himself, and it is the word that points us to Christ. He himself is that word that is scattered by his Father. He is the one who has died and was planted into the fertile soil of the earth and 3 days later sprouted forth in the resurrection from the dead on that first Easter morning. He himself produces 100-fold that you, the fruit that he looks for on the last day, will remain his forevermore. As he comes to gather each one of us into his heavenly barns. God has said it, and it is so. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.